saying that mercy of the Lord forever, didn't we?
Yeah.
Right. Right on
the eternity. Praise the Lord. They get up here a lot easier than I would that age. Bless them. Bless them. Bless you. Bless us with his presence. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Got your Bibles, turn with you. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Second Timothy chapter number 3. While you're turning there, also Romans. I ain't lost my place. Romans. Chapter number 13. Romans chapter number 13. And also 2 Timothy chapter number 3. I'm going to read in Romans first. Romans chapter 13. We're going to read verse number 11. That knowing the time. Now it's high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in righteousness or drunkenness, in trembling and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Put on the Lord Jesus and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Notice what he said, knowing the time. It's high time to wake out of our sleep. Our salvation nearer than when we first believed. Turn with me now to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men should be lovers of their own selves. Don't you notice how this don't describe the day and hour we're living? That's why one of the reasons I know it's the last time. We're living in the last days, folk. We're out on the close of this dispensation, this age. He said, men should be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, in contentment, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, born lovers of God. If you don't believe that, just go around some of these pleasure spots this morning. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For this sort are they which creep in houses, led captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. But what a truth today that is. Notice what he said in verse number 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. I want to simply try to share a word this morning God really laid on my heart. What's wrong in this hour? We just need to stop and think a minute. What we know a lot's wrong in the world, but what's wrong in the church in this hour? What's wrong in our life in this hour? We got the form, but where's the power? He said, what are you talking about? Well, there's a lot needs to be said about that, more than I can even think or imagine. We got the form. What did he say? Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. I got to look at those in different verses. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're grateful for a sweet opportunity to come into the throne room of grace. What a privilege that we can come to a throne of grace to obtain mercy and grace to help us in a time of need. Lord, we know what time it is according to your scriptures. You said it's high time we wake up out of our slumber and our sleep. Get busy about your business, about your work and your word, blessed God, in this hour. We know that this is the end times. We know that you're soon coming. All the signs of the time are pointing exactly that direction. But God, I pray you'd stir us up, wake us up, fill us up with your mighty power today. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen and amen. A form without power. It takes the power of God. You go all through the scripture, you'll find it in the book of St. John. He said, as many as come unto him, and he said, he came with his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he what? Power to become the sons of God. You say, there's nobody going to get into the family of God apart from the power of God. You say, why don't we ever see many people saved now? We're lacking the power of God. It's the power of God that draws people to him. It's the power of God that transforms a life and from darkness unto light. And if you don't have anything but a form, I've been looking out here where we poured some concrete. They've got some of it poured. He got some of it formed up. I said, well, God was speaking to him about this message. I said, well, it ain't going to do no good just a form out there. We've got to have a form, need a form. That's the way it is with the church. That's the way it is with you and our life. A form's all right if you got something beside the form. But something besides programs or something besides just getting together, something beside all these things, it takes the power of God. It must have the power of God. So until the concrete's poured in there, it'll just be a form. Until the Spirit of God is poured into our lives and in our midst, it'll just be a form. It'd be like the old colored preacher said, someone said, what do? He said, I just get up here and mess around till the Lord comes. He said, what if you do, he don't come? He said, just keep messing around. That's about all you can do. He said, and so I'm telling you, we just messing, do a lot of messing around because the Lord, listen, got to come. His presence, his power, has got to be in our midst. If it's not, it'll all be in vain. It'll just be a form. It'll just be a show. And we tell you what's happening this hour. We see such little of the power of God. We try to take saving souls in our hands. We try to take the work of God in our hands. Now, I was reading the verse of scripture. I was looking for it. Couldn't find it in the concordance. I wasn't looking in the right place. Don't reckon. But listen, I was sitting a while ago, the Holy Ghost gave it to me, and I want to thank him for it. You know what? I was reading it. It's in one of the Gospels. I like reading the last part of Matthew, Luke, and Mark, Luke, and John. I like reading all that last chapter. He talks about it. You know what he said in one of those last chapters? He told the disciples, he said, go forth. He said, I'm working. He said, I'm going to go with you. And it said, the Lord went with him, working with him. I said, well, glory to God. That's what we need. It's him working with us. You can work your fingers till they get to the bone. But if God's not with us, and if God's not in our presence, then I'm telling you, it'll be useless. It'll be vain. It'll be a form. And that's it. But thank God, if God's working with us, that's a marvelous, wonderful, glorious, good thing. He told his disciples, you know what he said to them? He said, go ye in Jerusalem and tarry. I like reading the book of Acts. You know why it's a book of action? It's a book when God was working with the church. Now I want to tell you something. We got to get back to that working, that God's working amongst us. He told his disciples, go in Jerusalem and be due and tarry until you be endued with something. What was it? With power from on high. I'm telling you, you can't do anything in yourself. It's like I was thinking about, you wouldn't believe the things you see during the week. Listen, I got an old tractor sitting away in a motor in it. I thought to myself, things is powerless. Listen, it's everything. It's not, listen, it won't move itself. It won't do anything. You know why? It ain't, don't have no motor. It don't have no power. You know why we're not seeing people moved, seeing people convicted, seeing people healed, and seeing people saved? It's because we're lacking the power. Somebody said, we don't need none of that in this hour. If we ever need it, we need it. If we ever needed it, we need it. It needs power. It's got to have power. We need God's power. We need that wonderful working, marvelous power of the Holy Ghost. He said for you to go back to Jerusalem and get over there and tarry until you be endued with power. Get back to her. You know what he told them? They was in one place, one mind, one accord. You know what they were doing? Praying. Praying. I'm going to tell you something. We don't want to see the power of God move in our midst and in our lives until we get back to praying. I was talking to somebody this week. We were discussing the fact how we used to pray. If you'd be honest, I know you would be honest. I'm just saying if you would be, you would be. I'm going to be honest. I don't pray near as much as I used to. Do any of y'all do that? Do y'all pray more than y'all used to? No, I'm afraid not. We all just say, Lord, if we ever needed to pray, you say, what praying? Don't God know we need it? I'm going to tell you something. Number one, you need prayer because that's communion between you and God. That's that communion, close relationship and communion when you're talking to God in prayer. There's no substitute for prayer. There's nothing. You know what they did when Peter was out there? You know what? We don't have no power because we don't pray. Don't pray. I'm going to tell you what. Some of the old saints, they didn't have much, but they had a prayer life. Huh? They believed in prayer. And they didn't just believe in it. They did it. They prayed. They had a praise, they went and prayed. So he told them, he said, tarry in Jerusalem. You know what he told them? They was in the upper room and they were praying. They were praying. They were praying like he told them to tarry. And God came upon them and anointed them with the power of His Spirit. We helpless without God's presence, without God's power, and without God's Spirit. That's the only thing to do the Word. We preachers can't do it. You listen, neither can anybody here. You teachers can't do it. It takes God's Word, God's power, God's Spirit to do the work. The Word of God. The Spirit of God. Working in our midst. He told them disciples to go by and tarry. While they were up in the upper room praying, son, a wind from heaven came. Fill that place. Listen. And God filled them. I'm going to tell you something. You know, you look in the book of Acts, it's a pattern in there. They prayed. They went out and preached, testified. And they got persecuted. And guess what they did? Went back to the prayer closet. Got filled up again, went right back. They got whipped. They got put in jail. They got put in prison. It didn't stop them. What do you think Paul and Silas was doing that night? They praying and singing in that jail that night. And I tell you what, God delivered them. Hallelujah. You want to tell you something? I'll tell you what will do you more good than anything. All of us. Stop our grumbling. Stop our complaining. Stop our mumbling. And go to praying and praising and thanking God. Hallelujah. That we got so much to be thankful for. What was you doing that night, Paul and Silas was in that prison with the hands and feet and stocks chained in that prison? What were you doing? Yeah, what would we have done? I'll tell you what they were doing. Praising God. Hallelujah. You know what? The Lord heard them. Sent an angel to rescue them. Yes, he did. Hallelujah. Hey, this is what he's saying. He said, the last days is perilous times, dangerous times. And I'm not going back over that list. I read it a while ago. But we live in there, folks. Exactly live in there. That's why he said it's high time we wake up. Get out of our slumber. Get out of our sleep. Wake up. Hey, telling you, we better hit me. We better. So we can go through the forms. Got to have some power. Got to have power. Got to have power. Yes, we do. Amen. So I'm going to say, God's grace is sufficient, even for the day and hour that you're living in. I know we're living in the falling away period, because he said, except there be a falling away. Listen, it's going to happen before the Lord comes, and we live in there. But I always like what my dad said. He said, it is going to happen, he said, but don't mean we got to fall away. Don't mean we got to get cold and indifferent. Don't mean we got to be, not where we ought to be. I'm telling you, God's grace is sufficient. He's got the power. He's got the source. Listen, he's got all kind of power. He can give you all the power you need and give me all the power I need and give this church and every other body of believers the power they need and still won't be lost a bit of his power. He's all powerful. All power's been given to him both in heaven and in earth. Having a farm without the power won't get anything done. You may get some church members, but you're going to have the power of God to transform them from darkness into light. And that's why he was talking about putting off all these things and putting on Christ. Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. What's a good garment? That's a good clothing. Put him on. Put him on. We've never lived in a generation I just read that verse a while ago, that's ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. We got some geniuses as far as this world's concerned. We could not even hold them a light on a lot of these things. No, I don't know anything about a lot of them. Nothing. But they don't know nothing about it. Some of them don't know nothing about this. They're ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, I ask myself sometimes, I ask other people sometimes, where in the world do they get all this new technology knowledge that we live in this generation? We know that eventually they wouldn't know anything weren't for God. God's allowing it. But we know that. But you know what I said? They can figure out all this stuff, but yet can't figure out what it says in this book, how they need to be saved and need a new life that's in Jesus Christ. Tell you what they said about Paul and Peter and them, okay? In the book of Acts, you can read it. You know what they did? when they was out there preaching. They come out and said, now, what power? Now, you just tell me, how'd that crippled man get up? How'd he get up? What power? How in the world are y'all doing this? You know what he told him? It's in the name of Jesus. Don't look on us. Don't you look on us like it was us doing it. No, it's him that you crucified, that you hung on a tree, but whom God raised from the dead. It's in his name that this man stands here whole before you. It was the power of God. But you know what they said about Peter and John? We can't figure this out. We know the ignorant. We know the unlearned. They're just old fishermen. That's what they said about them. They ignorant, unlearned. But said, we know one thing. Guess what it was? Said, we've been with Jesus. That don't mean we've got to be ignorant and unlearned. No, I'm not saying that. But I'm going to tell you something about some of these old folks that didn't have maybe the 8th grade education. Can I tell you something? Boy, they knew something about the Lord. Because my daddy was one of them. He knew more than I did. You couldn't help figuring. But they said they were ignorant and unlearned, but they set up and took knowledge. They had been with Jesus. That's where I want to be. Hallelujah. That's what I want. I want someone through this life journey. They say, well, he might not know this, might not do that. Maybe ignorant about this, maybe unlearned about that. May not know much about computers. May not know much about some of these other things that we got in this hour. But I'm going to tell you something. He's been with Jesus. That's my number one thing. I hope and pray as I walk through this life, and I hope that's your prayer too, they can say, he's been with Jesus. 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 What a difference it makes. And so no wonder. No wonder Peter and John and them can say, don't look on us. We don't got anything. It's all him. It's all his power. It's our wonderful, wonderful Lord. It's out on and out of the power. What did Paul say in the book of Romans chapter number 1? I believe it's verse number 16. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it's a power unto salvation. The gospel's got power in it. You know why? It's got the Lord. He's the Lord. He is our salvation. Power. I'm not ashamed of it, Paul said. He wasn't. He wasn't ashamed. You know what he said in the book of, I believe it's Philippians, or Colossians, I believe it's Philippians. He said, oh, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. I want to know him. I don't just want to know of him and hear of him. But I want to experience the power of his resurrection. There's power in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's power, thank God there's power. There's power for the church. Listen, you say, well, we don't need that power like the early church did. If we ever need it, we still need it. Glory to God. A church needs the same power. I'm telling you, we must have that power back, folks. Let's pray God will send his power back amongst us. Because without it, we're hopeless and helpless without the power of God. Ever learning. never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Having a form, but it's empty without Christ. Empty, helpless, and hopeless, except our Lord be in our presence. Hallelujah. What did Jesus, when the disciples were up there and they were praying, and he was crucified, they was in that upper room, he walked through in their midst, doors being closed after his resurrection. See, you don't have to open a door back there for him to get in. He walked in. He said something to him. Peace. Peace. You know what? He can walk in your life. He can walk in my life. He can say, peace, be still. He said it to the raging seas. He says it to raging hearts and lives that are raging, torn, broken. He walk in the midst and say, peace be still. That's our Lord. Peace I give unto you, peace I leave with you. Not as the world give it peace, I'm giving you something else. The world don't have that to give. They can't give it. They can't bring satisfaction. I'm going to tell you something. You could have all the money in the world. You'd still be as miserable as everything. Miserable. Do you have Christ? Is he in your life? Is he first place in your life? You know, too much emphasis on just make him your Savior and make him Lord later. No, he's Lord Jesus. He's Lord Jesus. You got to come bow down to him as Lord. He said he would confess thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe it in the heart. God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Well, better go back just a moment before we close. And never got back to some of the verses he read. But you know what? He said our salvation. He said it's time for us to wake up out of our sleep and slumber. Get out of our form. Get the power back. That's what he says. He says, it's high time we wake out of our sleep. For our salvation is nearer than it was when we first believed. Well, we got salvation when we believed. And it's salvation with power. It's the marvelous grace of God. But why is he saying? I was pondering on that. Why is he saying nearer than when you first believed? Well, you know what? You just like I am, you're still putting up this old body, ain't you? I told somebody, they said, how you feel? I said, inside I feel like I'm not a day older. You know why? I got eternal life. I'm living forever. But outside, I can tell the difference in my body. Amen? So why is our salvation? You know, we wait in redemption of the body. Just say it that way. Right, Brother Donnie? Wait in redemption of the body. And that is near. And it was when we first believed. That complete, total, full salvation. Now, this ain't a half salvation I'm carrying around now. I'm not saying that. It's complete. You know why it's complete? In him. Accepted in him. I'm complete in him. I'm perfected in him. It's all in him. But one day I'm waiting. That's why Paul said, I'm waiting. He said, it's nearer. He said, wake up. Get up. He said, God has translated you. Get up. Out of that darkness. Into light. What a Savior we have in our blessed Lord. Yes, glory to God. I'm going to read what he said there. Praise God. The night's far spent. The day's at hand. Therefore, cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Hallelujah. Folks, our days are numbered on this earth. We only have a certain amount to live here. I told Brother Gary, my son-in-law, I told him, he said his heart beats slow. And slower than normal. I told him, I said, well, you know, we only got so many heartbeats, you know, telling how long your one's going to last. Yeah, that's the way to look at it. Yeah, I believe we got so many. Amen. So you know what? Let me tell you something. It's all in God's hands. You can rest in His loving mercy and goodness. And folks, my prayer is this, that God get a hold of our hearts. Listen, we begin to pray and say, God, we need Your power. We need Your power. We need it. We don't just need the form. We go through the forms, through the motions. But Lord, we need Your power. We need it. I want to see it again. I want to see it like it was even back in the 70s. I'm serious. I think about a lot of times tonight, Emily got saved. She was about 8 years old. You know how many got saved that night? 14. You know what I was preaching on? If you knew you had 24 hours to live, what would you do? See, most people think they ain't got a lifetime ahead of them. Go get your obituary, your paper, and read the obituaries there and see. Everybody in there is 80 or 90 years old. Won't be able to be that way. And if you do live to be 100. I had one of my cousins told me, said she's about a year or two older than I am. She said, I'm going to live to be 100 and you got to preach my funeral. And I said, well, that means I'm going to live to be about 98 or 99 then, don't it? Well, that's a good way to look at it. Amen. Hey, we're in God's hands. We're in His mercy. We're in His grace. I hope you'll pray with me this morning. I hope you'll agree with me on the fact. What we need is the power of God. God's power. God's presence in our midst. And He told them disciples, when you get changed sometime, read the last few verses of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And He told them one place, He said, lo, I'm with you always. He told them another place. He said, "He said, I'm going to be working with you. You see, God was working with them disciples. And God still worked with us if we'll believe Him. If we'll get to the place. You see, I've had people tell me, well, we don't need that same power today. Folks, I don't believe it. I believe we need that much and more too. Are we in heaven yet? Have we seen everybody saved yet? No, we haven't. We need the power of God to penetrate this dark wickedness, this hour we're living in. We must have it. That's the only hope. I'm telling you. But God's got it. I hope and pray that you'll believe God with me. We'll begin to see people. Not only come to God's house, but see the Holy Ghost start convicting and converting, drawing by His Spirit. I can tell you different things that I've seen since I've been saved. Even in the early years, after I was saved, in the early years, my Lord, I surrendered to preach. I see a vast difference now. And I'm not blaming it on nobody. I'm sure they can't blame it on God. We say, Lord, I know what He said. If my people will call by my name, if we'd humble ourselves, the next thing He said, pray. Seek my face. I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. So we got to turn our wicked ways. We got to humble ourselves, and we got to pray. He'd hear. He said he'd do some healing. That's what we need. Would you stand with me this morning?